"There are changes," he said, after kneading his chin for several minutes and burrowing deeper into the hovering eye. "Profound genetic changes, but there are none of the usual signatures of Mixmaster work."
"Signatures?"
"Copyright information encoded into redundant base pairs. The Bloodcutters probably didn't steal their sequences from us in this case, or else there'd be residual traces of Mixmaster design." He shook his head emphatically. "No, this work never originated on Yellowstone. It's fairly sophisticated, but..." I pulled myself from the couch, wiping a tear of irritation from my cheek. "But what?" "It's almost certainly not what you asked for." Well, I knew that much had to be the case, since I had never asked for anything in the first place. But I made the appropriate noises of surprise and annoyance, knowing the Mixmaster would enjoy my shock at having been duped by the Bloodcutters. "I know the kind of home box mutations you need for a cat's eye pupil, and I'm not seeing major changes in any of the right chromosomal regions, but I am seeing changes elsewhere, in the parts which oughtn't to have been edited at all."
"Can you be more specific?"
"Not immediately, no. It doesn't help that the sequences are fragmentary in most chains. The specific DNA changes are normally inserted by a retrovirus, one which would be engineered by us, or Bloodcutters, and programmed to effect the right mutations for the desired transformation."
"In your case," he continued, "the virus doesn't seem to have copied itself very efficiently. There are very few intact strands where the changes are expressed fully.
It's inefficient, and it might explain why the changes haven't begun to affect the gross structure of your eye, but it's also nothing I've seen before. If this is really Bloodcutter work, it might mean that they're using techniques we don't know anything about."
"That isn't good, is it?"
"At least when they stole their techniques from us, there was some guarantee they'd work, or wouldn't be actively dangerous." He shrugged. "Now I'm afraid there's no such guarantee. I imagine you're already beginning to regret that visit, but it's rather too late for regrets."
"Thanks for your sympathy. I presume if you can map these changes, you can also undo them?"
"That'll be much harder than making them in the first place, but it could be done at a cost."
"You don't surprise me.
Will you be requiring our services, then?"
I moved towards the door, letting Chantrell walk ahead of me. "I'll be sure to let you know, believe me."
I was unsure how she expected me to act after the examination, whether she imagined that the Mixmaster's inquiries would jog my memory, and that I would suddenly realize just what it was that was wrong with my eyes, and how they had ended up like that. Maybe she had, and, just maybe, so had I, clinging to the idea that the nature of my eyes was something I had temporarily forgotten, a long-delayed aspect of the revival amnesia. But nothing like that happened. I was none the wiser, but even more unsettled, because I knew that something was really happening and I could no longer dismiss how my eyes seemed to glow in my face. There had to be more to it than that. Since arriving in Chasm City, I had been growing steadily more aware of a faculty I had never known before. I could see in the dark, when other people needed image-intensifying goggles or infrared overlays. I had noticed it for the first time, without really consciously recognizing it, when I had entered the ruined building and looked upwards to see the staircase which had led me to safety and to Zebra. There should not have been enough light for me to see what I had seen, but of course I had more than my share of other things to worry about. Later, after the cable car had crashed into Laurent's kitchen,